Welcome to Hope Is Here, bringing hope to those struggling with life's difficult situations.
Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn. We are continuing our conversation with author Dr. Samuel Blumenthal. He's written a really cool book called Once Upon a Time, a collection of short stories for those trying to find their way home. And we're broadcasting live from the Christian Product Expo, a national conference here in Lexington, down Rupp Arena, Central Bank Center. It used to be called Heritage Hall. And so you might hear a little noise in the background. Normally we broadcast in the radio station. After 1,000 programs, we wanted to take this program on the road and expose you to some wonderful, wonderful authors of some just wonderful new outstanding books, and this is one of those. And heard about Dr. Blumenthal's journey of faith. He had a Jewish background and came to know Christ in his 40s. And I know a lot of you may have been praying for somebody, especially men. Sometimes we're a little reluctant to surrender and admit we need a savior. So if you missed yesterday's program, really want to encourage you to check that 14-minute program out. Just go to our website, hopeishere.org. That's hopeishere.org, or whatever platform you listen to podcasts on. We're on all those, even have a YouTube channel, and that's simply Hope Is Here. Well, as we continue talking here today, Sam, you shared a little bit. You've been writing short stories, but you're also working on a biography of your life. And you shared that, you know, you were doing that, but that's how this book was kind of birthed out of that, right? You were taking a break. And talk a little bit about that for people that maybe missed yesterday's program.
Yeah, well, yeah. I came to faith at the age of 45. And then a few years later, God really began to show me that really, the whole reason I had been in crisis is because the thing that I worshiped more than anything, even after, more than him, after I came to know him, was the person in my life. I'd made an idol out of the woman in my life, and never really had understood that. But it was so incredible when he showed it to me, and then he delivered me from that. I've got to write this down, and I kind of misjudged how hard it is to write a book like that. It was a kind of a story of my whole life, how I came to faith. It also became a story of kind of the whole gospel story, because all of our stories are kind of are part of God's story, you know. And God showed me that the Bible is really easy to understand as like a 4-chapter story. I'm not the first person to talk about this. There's like the Gospel Coalition. People may have heard of Tim Keller belonged to it as well. And it just really, I mean, you know, everything has context, and our story started, you know, once upon a time in the garden, and God's intention and how he made us was to always be in perfect fellowship with him and perfect relationship with him. His love for us was really our reason we existed and what gives us value and everything else. And then when we had different ideas and we kind of wanted to maybe be in charge of our own lives, that's kind of what happened in the fall. All that was disrupted. We got attached to other things in this life instead of him. But that core part of us is still there. It kind of makes sense when you think, I mean, why are we conflicted? But why? There's a deeper part of us that always knows better, that really knows what God knows, how he thinks, what he values. And primarily, it's his love of us. That's really what gives us value. If we could just rest in that and believe in that, we'd be grounded like all the time. But we won't be in this life. We'll still struggle with other things. And so I started writing short stories, and I really kind of wanted to represent. The garden makes sense to us. Life seems like it should be better because it should be better. It's like we were made for the garden. It's like, and we almost without knowing it, we know it somehow. Things should be better. And that's kind of why that's there. But we struggle with sin, and then God made redemption possible. He's redemptively worked in our lives since the beginning of time. You see all that through the Old Testament. But he really, you know, started redemption, you know, in a more substantial way with Christ on the cross. And that was kind of, you know, reconciling us to him, you know. And yet we all know as Christians that sin is still very active in our lives. You know, we're all looking for him to come back one day so that we can finally be done with this battle. So if you look at stories, I think all stories, fiction stories, kind of represent all those 4 chapters in different ways. I mean, and what's fascinating to me is that Most storytellers are not Christians. If you like, just look at movies and books and stories, all that have been written over the time of history. Over and over and over again, you'll see usually characters who are just, sin is just undoing them in crisis. And somehow, you know, it's really the Holy Spirit, although the author may not put it that way, that somehow redemptive things begin to happen to them, either through other people or other things in their lives. And usually at the end of the story, they're kind of a better version of themselves. The story of Ebenezer Scrooge is probably one of the greatest examples. You know, Scrooge had gotten very addicted to money, and he hated poor people, and had become this angry, bitter man, you know. And God, kind of through this miraculous story, through the three Christmas ghosts and all that, kind of takes him on a journey to kind of show him his life, really. And there's other details in that story that Charles Dickens put in there that's quite incredible. But at the end of the story, he ends up being a much kinder and gentler version of himself. And so it just, again, tells the story that sin will, it undoes us. It will. It always does. Only the grace of God and his redemption in some way or another can help us. And I mean, you think of almost any story you can think of, usually starts out, the main character is either in crisis or getting ready to fall into crisis. You know, sometimes he's already in crisis when it begins. And then all these other kinds of things happen, and they may not mention God or the Holy Spirit. Sometimes they do. But one way or the other, God redemptively works in that story. What usually always happens is the main character comes to see just how selfish and narcissistic he's been his whole life, and that's really why things have gone as badly as they've gone. And they may not ever mention God, but somehow all of a sudden he becomes more humble, more soft, more loving. And yeah, he's not perfect at the end of the story, but he's usually a much nicer guy. And that's how it ends. But what's fascinating to me is that 95% of those people who write those stories don't even believe in God, but yet that's the story they write over and over and over again, which to me shows that, yeah, deep in our hearts, we all know the real story. Right, it's like it can't help itself but come out, you know. So I love stories. So mine's are a little more intentional, although who knows what God is using me for to say in these stories. And never know that. But I hope they not only encourage, but I hope they really can really prompt people. They were meant to really to teach about real things, about real struggle, about how God always wants to help. He's just waiting for us to open our hands and receive that help. So,
if you just tuned in, we are talking with Dr. Samuel Blumenthal. He was a psychologist, 30 years, didn't come to know Jesus till his mid-40s. So just a powerful story there. And he has written a book called Once Upon a Time. It's a collection of short stories for those trying to find their way home. And man, I know you really would be blessed by this. And let me ask you, I'm just looking at some of the chapter, you know, these short stories. One of them's called Losing Oneself. Can you just tell us a little bit about that one?
Well, so that came, was inspired. So Soren Kierkegaard was this brilliant Christian philosopher. You read his original writing, it's so dense, I can't even understand it. I have to read other people who interpret it. But he said he's had this saying. He said, the greatest danger is of losing oneself. He said, anything else, an arm, a wife, something is bound to be noticed. And what he really meant was losing touch, with the image bearer part of us, which we all have done. And that's really kind of what happened in the fall. We kind of, who we really are. Thomas Merton was another writer who called it like our true self. Our true self is really the image bearer part of us. And you may, you know, if you don't know God, you've never even thought about these things, but that's really kind of who we are. And kind of when we lose our lives, kind of not living with God, but getting, you know, trying to fill ourselves with all the things of the world and all this, that's kind of like our false self. That's kind of, but we kind of lose ourselves, our true self. And God is trying to bring us back to Him. So that story was prompted by that. It's actually an allegory. that kind of is trying to think about what one way of looking at the fall is that Adam and Eve, it wasn't about any particular lust. It was almost like it was just they couldn't have one thing that was forbidden. And why are we drawn to that? Why is it like when the little kids, when no, you can't have that? Why wasn't even thinking about it? Now that you said I can't have it, I want it. You know, it's kind of about that. So yeah, you kind of have to read it. It's a little fairy tale.
Yeah, I love it. I should have really asked this at the beginning, but I got to ask you, how did you decide on this title? Once Upon a Time, a collection of short stories for those trying to find their way home.
Well, I've just always loved stories and loved stories when I was young. And I think Once Upon a Time is kind of, you know, I don't know. I couldn't really think of any other way I would want to start them. All the stories start that way, Once Upon a Time. I think there is something there. To me, like the greatest symbol, Once Upon a Time, Adam and Eve lived in the garden before the fall. I mean, that's really kind of, you know, it's kind of, we kind of lost that, you know, fairy tales are, it seems to be kind of like just like a little nice sounding phrase, but I think it means more than that. It almost implies that, yeah, we had something, we lost it. I love the sound of it. But they all start out that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. Why do you think there are not more Christian short stories published?
Yeah. I think it is a great temptation to just write nonfiction, I think, and just talk directly to people. I spent the greater majority, you know, the great majority of 10 years trying to do that myself. And I think I will get back to that and kind of finish that project. It seems to make sense. It seems to make sense that people will learn better if you just talk directly to them factually about stuff. And not that that doesn't help, but it is incredible, though, how much, you know, we talk about stories, you know, and God used stories in my life over and over again. And you even think of somebody like C.S. Lewis and how incredible he was and how great a writer he was, and how many books he wrote. And almost all of them nonfiction, most of them nonfiction, and how good some of those books were. But more people remember C.S. Lewis for The Chronicles of Narnia than they do anything else. And they were not even that, they weren't super deep. They were written for kids, partially. So they're not, you know, they could be much more dense than they are, and they're not, but they're powerful. I just think there's something about fiction. So I'm just trying to get in through a side door, you know? Think about how much of the time that most of us spend watching movies and, these days and TV series and stuff like that. And it's just another form of books, you know, stories draw us. I think, I really believe stories are trying to speak to us. So, yeah.
Wow. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time. I'd love to talk more, but, man, I want to encourage you to get a copy of this book. It's called Once Upon a Time. It's by Samuel L. Blumenthal, Dr. Blumenthal, and just uses his great experiences, 30 years as a psychologist and came to know Jesus in his mid-40s. I think you'd really be blessed by this book. I want to encourage you to go to his website, SamuelBlumenthal.com. That's SamuelBlumenthal.com. We'll have all this information on the podcast. Just go to our website, HopeIsHereToday.org. That's HopeIsHereToday.org. For Samuel Blumenthal, I'm Greg Horn, and this is Hope Is Here.
Thank you for listening to Hope Is Here podcast. To listen to one of our previous programs or to make a tax-deductible donation, please go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today. Are you over 55 looking to increase your strength, endurance, balance, coordination, and more? Fitness for folks over 55 should be more than just stretching and mild workouts. Stronger Life, fitness for people over 55 helps folks do the things that they want and need to do. From lifting heavy packages, grandchildren, and pets, to hiking the Inca Trail. Created by doctors of physical therapy and led by Stronger Life certified coaches, group classes are not only effective, but safe. A Stronger Life is a better life, located in Lexington. For more information, visit us online at StrongerLifeHQ.com.